This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 351. This episode was pre-recorded. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
It's Karen, not Kara, in Power Girl 101. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. We are taping this in advance, and we recently went over Supergirl's origin and timeline, so this episode is the flip side of that, as we review Kara's other dimensional sister, Power Girl, and this character, mostly due to reboots, has had a varied history. So let's go to school. Her first appearance was in All-Star Comics number 58 in 1976. This is one of the comics I bought as a kid. I think I actually have two copies. I don't know how I have two copies of it. A title set on the original Earth 2 and a resurrection of the Justice Society at that point, along with a new super squad that was composed of the Earth 2 Robin, the Star-Spangled Kid, and Kara Zor-El, a.k.a. Karen Starr, a.k.a. Power Girl. A two-panel origin is given as she drops in on the society, explaining that she is, in fact, the Earth 2 Superman's cousin, making her the Supergirl of that world.
So why do you suppose they called her Power Girl instead of Supergirl?
I'm guessing, well, they actually had used the name Power Girl previously, and so it might have been a copyright thing that they just wanted to keep the copyright alive.
Okay.
The issue is that her rocket took much longer to get to Earth. A later expanded origin in Showcase Comics explains that her ship kept her in stasis and in a virtual reality so that she got an education and, like, virtual life experiences.
So that kind of harkens back to when they had Superboy in as the clone and they were making him have life experiences.
Very similar, except this was in the late
70s. Yeah.
So she winds up on Earth at age 18. The Earth 2 Clark and Lois, who are married, this is pre-Crisis and Infinite Earths, Earth 2, they basically adopt her. And Power Girl was shown to be a very headstrong woman who liked to punch first and ask questions later. And she became very good friends with Huntress, who's the daughter of the Earth 2 Batman. Now, Power Girl may be best known for the window on her costume. And she started with a similar figure to other DC women at the time, but reportedly, artist Wally Wood was convinced that editors were not paying attention to his work, so he started growing her bust each issue until they noticed.
Oh.
And that ended up becoming the model for the character.
Oh, dear.
So, All-Star Comics disappeared during the DC implosion, and this was an event around 79 or in 80, when DC was advertising, it's the DC explosion of all these great new titles that all failed miserably. There was like a culling where they killed off a bunch of comics all at once, some to the point where they had actually done the production work for them, but they never got published.
Wow.
So that they handed out these ash cans at early conventions called the Canceled Comics Cavalcade.
Oh, that's where that's from.
And that's okay. What that's from. So this left Power Girl just having guest appearances in the annual JLA-JSA team-ups that they did back then all the time, every year. During those, she flirted with Firestorm, who was on the JLA at the time. She later joined Infinity Incorporated, an 80s Earth 2 group of descendants and namesakes of society members. basically they wanted to join the Justice Society, and they're like, no, you're not ready. So like, oh, fine, we'll start our own group.
So sort of like the Teen Titans of Earth 2.
Right, except they're adults.
Oh.
They're all adults
the
at that point.
The Titans of Earth 2.
Yeah. Yeah. So she also became a computer programmer and started her own software company, Starware, because computers were becoming big at that point. Then we hit the Crisis on Infinite Earths, 1985 to 86. So now Earth 2 doesn't exist on its own because Earth 1 and Earth 2 merged.
Mm-hmm.
So where does that put Power Girl? Burns Man of Steel reboot states that Superman is the sole survivor of Krypton. So after some confusion, a decision is made by the editors, and in a Power Girl miniseries, she learns she's not Kryptonian at all.
Surprise!
She's actually the granddaughter of Arion, an Atlantean mystic, and was frozen in suspended animation for millennia, and that magic gave her her Supergirl-like powers.
Mm.
This became the new origin until the mid-90s, and she went during this period through multiple costumes and multiple changes in powers. The costumes were very 80s themed. And then we have Power Girl joining Justice League Europe, which mm-hmm. was part of the whole Bwahaha era. She's almost killed in battle, and Superman performs super surgery to save her. He basically uses heat vision to do surgery on her otherwise invulnerable body.
Was she still magic at this point and not Kryptonian?
Well,
because then he shouldn't have been able to affect her.
Well, we learn that that wasn't actually the case. She loses some of her powers at this point. Of course, that didn't last because it never lasts when they depower people. They get him back. She, at one point, adopted a mangy cat, her version of Streaky. And then during Zero Hour, she has a mystical pregnancy and has a child, Equinox, who then disappears and is never mentioned ever again.
That's mainly what happens with mystical children.
Right. She later joins Chris Claremont's Sovereign Seven series that came out in 95 to 98. And for a loner, she really wants to be on a team. Claremont pulled a Saint Elsewhere at the end of the series and made it clear that Sovereign Seven was a comic in the DC universe and is not actually part of continuity. So everything that happened in Sovereign Seven never happened in regular continuity. She joined some early missions of Gail Simone's Birds of Prey, told in flashback in that series, where a disastrous mission makes her quit the team. When the JSA is reformed in the late 90s, she's back on that team, and during that time, Arion reveals that the whole Atlantean origin is a lie.
And is she back to being a Kryptonian? Because the whole John Byrne thing's out the window now.
By that point. And then in the JSA classified title, she fights Psycho Pirate. Psycho Pirate is the only one, at least at that time, who remembered pre-Crisis on Infinite Earths. He remembered the multiverse. And so he reveals her Kryptonian origin again. So now she's Kryptonian again. She was never not Kryptonian.
Well, yeah. Okay.
She's a major player during Infinite Crisis, 2005 to 2006, where she meets Kal-El, the Earth 2 Superman, again. She's used as a power source by the Earth 3 Alexander Luthor to bring back the multiple Earths, and then watches Kal-El beat to death by Superboy Prime. Don't try to wrap your head around all this, because Infinite Crisis is possibly one of the most confusing things that DC ever did. After the 52 event, during the 1 year later period, we find Power Girl in the Supergirl title, acting as Nightwing of the Bottle City of Kandor, with Supergirl as Flamebird. Going back to the Silver Age, there was this superhero team who was very Batman and Robin-like when Batman and Robin and the Adam West series was huge, that actually fought on the Bottle City of Kandor. It was actually Superman and Jimmy Olsen who would go there just for fun and be Batman and Robin, essentially. So this is another version of those characters. Back in the Justice Society, she meets the Kingdom Come Superman, and they kind of adopt each other as family because they're both from universes that don't exist anymore. In the aftermath of Final Crisis, Power Girl finds herself back on the pre-Crisis on Infinite Earth 2, fighting a group called Justice Society Infinity. So this is the extrapolation of what would have happened if we went from the 80s Infinity Incorporated and Justice Society, and now where are they by the mid-2000s? So now they've merged into one group. And within that group is a Power Girl, and it turns out that the Multiverse Recreation built an Earth 2 and a Power Girl on that Earth 2. So Power Girl gets a solo series in the late 2000s and takes a young Tara under her wing as a sidekick. The series is created by Paul Miatti and Gray, who's currently running the Harley Quinn title, and was a very upbeat title that, frankly, I still miss because it gave some humor to the DCU. It wasn't doom and gloom constantly.
Yeah, I seem to recall that, and it was like more people-centered than fight-centered.
Yeah, much more character-centric, and she really poked fun at her own image. Kara also moved to a new JSA All-Stars title after that team, the Justice Society, became too large to cover in a single title. At one point, there were like 20 members. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, so they had two books for it.
Two JSA books. Of course, she got sucked into Blackest Night and fought the corpse of Black Lantern Kal-El.
Oh, that's another one I wish I had never read.
A Justice League Generation Lost miniseries brought back the JLI Bwahaha team, who came together as the Super Buddies, who fought Maxwell Lord, who had wiped knowledge of his own existence from the Earth and everyone's minds. And at one point, we see an ancient depowered Power Girl in the far future. In the New 52, which technically just wrapped up, Power Girl was seen as Karen Starr in the Mr. Terrific title. So it was just like there was a character named Karen Starr who was pretty obvious it was Power Girl, but they didn't say there. We later learn that she's from the New Earth 2, along with the New Earth 2 Huntress. She was actually Supergirl there and lived with a married Lois and Clark at the Fortress. She and Huntress are boom-tubed to Earth 1 during the final battle on Earth 2. They get their own World's Finest title and spend most of the series trying to get back to Earth 2. Huntress actually wants to return to Earth 2, but Power Girl's not sure she wants to go. And at the end of that title, they do succeed in going back and wind up in the Earth 2 World's End title.
Yeah, just exactly where you want to be.
Yeah. Now, Power Girl meets Val Zod, the Black Superman of Earth 2, and they begin a relationship.
Which is really weird, because when they meet, he's like 7 years old, and he ages over the course of, you know, four issues into the same age as she is. But still, creepy.
Creepy. And, oh, by the way, it's near the end of the universe, or the end of that universe, so throughout the New 52, she goes from a complete covered-up bodysuit back to the original outfit at one point, and then to the S-Shield being added to cover up the window. Now, there are variants of the Power Girl character throughout the DCU. Lois Lane first used the name in a dream in a story in 1958,
Okay.
So this is, I think, where they were trying to make sure
the name kept. And copyright, yeah.
In the Tangent imprint, she's a Chinese engineered superhero. In Kingdom Come, she's an older power woman. In the Amekami manga line, which is this one line they're doing mostly to support these maquettes they're putting out, she's Jor-El's daughter, and so she's the Superman equivalent there. So all the heroes are women in this Amekami line, mm-hmm. I assume. Power Girl has also been in other media. A Supergirl clone named Galatea, but clearly Power Girl, was in the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited animated series. And she was actually a villain at one point, and then it turns out she was controlled by somebody, blah, blah, blah. A girl enhanced by Jor-El's tech thinks she's Kara on the Smallville series. And she happened to wear a white outfit, played by Adrienne Palicki. So she's hit all the...
Yeah.
She was essentially Supergirl. She was Wonder Woman in that failed pilot. And now she's Mockingbird over on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Now, Power Girl has also appeared in some of the DC animated films and, of course, in the video games.
Wow.
quite the history for this character. Well, sorry, no Who's on the cover this week because we are taping this in advance. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
Email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter at sfppn. Check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.